Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators about to conduct a little inter-squad scrimmage. Came out for warm-ups earlier. The ice has been scraped and cleaned.
Full uniforms,
full
referees.
Uniforms, Jumbotron, Fang Vision, Crazy Kyle, Paul McCann. Who knows? Maybe we'll even hear Pete Weber. You never know. You never know what's going to happen during this scrimmage. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here. Chase is off this week. He'll be back with us on Monday. We say hello and good afternoon to Tim Corbin. Corbs is on the line with us. Tim, how you doing?
Good, D. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. We're getting to see, well, it's not, you know, doesn't count, but at least we're getting to see professional athletes on their playing surface and, you know, conducting sporting events, which is a sight for the eyes, especially after the last 4 months.
Movement. That's all that matters right now. It's just movement in the right direction.
No doubt. It looks like, by the way, from what we've heard during the course of the show, that there may be movement heading in the direction for Mookie Betts, Nashvillian, who may be signing like a $350, $400 million contract today.
Yeah, who would have thought that? I mean, even Mookie and his family, you know, the type of player that he's turned out to be, and he continues to grow, too. I think we're looking at a kid that is, when people start talking about long-term, this is a guy who could affect the game for a long period of time if he stays healthy, but certainly a gifted kid and quality family and kid. Just glad that he's having that type of success and has those opportunities in front of him.
What a story. I mean, you have plucked out so many kids that have grown up in this area and now play at the Major League level. It's just amazing. I know we've talked about it with you over the years, just how this area continues to grow when it comes to baseball. I mean, the talent level has grown exponentially since you've been here, right?
Well, we've had some really good players. I mean, you look at the Nashville area with, you know, the first rounders with Price and Gray and Minor and Sheffield. It's to think, and then, you know, this year with Robert Hassel, there's been a lot of quality players. Very fertile area for athletics in general, I think. Very underrated, and I've always said that. But particularly in baseball, the amount of schools that come into the state of Tennessee, whether it's Nashville or Memphis or the Knoxville area, and certainly Tony with his program over at UT, he's done a nice job of attracting Tennessee kids. So I think it's kind of perpetuated itself. You've seen the success from a little league level, which is great. That's a foundational level. We've gained a lot of attention by sending 12-year-olds over to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So that's been good. So I think with our program and Belmont, and Lipscomb, and Middle Tennessee State, and of course Tennessee and Memphis and it's really attracted and built some quality kids.
Just so you know, Tim, that my son had 4 home runs this weekend. So I did show him the Vanderbilt hat that Maggie gave me. So just saying. He had a good weekend. He's got a long ways to go to ever get to your program. But we'll keep working with him.
That's still impressive.
He did. It was a lot of fun this weekend, and I'm glad that we're able to do it. I'm sad that, you know, your season had to end the way that it did, and hopefully your upcoming year will be just fine. Real quick, before we get into that, we've had a lot of talks on the show about the movement for Major League Baseball in this city, and I know you're a part of the group, and Dave Dombrowski has been hired and is moving here. What would it mean to you? Does it affect you in a good way, or however you want to answer it? What would it mean if something like this happens for this market and Major League Baseball was here?
Well, I think first off, it would mean that our city has grown more, because I think that's going to certainly be a piece and certainly welcome the sport into the city. I think it would be great. I don't have any negative feelings towards that whatsoever. None. I feel like it will continue to grow the sport in general, certainly help at the foundational level. And I think with, what we've talked about and what John Lohr has talked about, you know, is part of this is building the minority baseball sector too inside the city. And Ro Coleman, who used to play for me, is very involved in that. He's doing a good job of growing that piece. And I feel like anytime you bring in a major league franchise, much like the Predators, it impacts the kids below that now want to play hockey. And I think, you know, with Nashville in general, and you start moving a franchise into the middle of the city where it can impact the lives of young kids who before didn't have the ability to get out, finance themselves, find baseball fields. I just think that a franchise like this opens up opportunities around it, and you've seen it before. So I think there's a lot of good things that can happen. I think good things can happen to Vanderbilt, too, with it. So I just think it's a win all the way around.
Talking to Tim Corbin, head baseball coach at Vanderbilt. And forgive us, we're talking during the national anthem being played before this scrimmage. They're really trying to create a game-like situation. But, Corbs, what do you think about the addition of Dombrowski, such a great baseball man, and as Darren mentioned, to uproot and come and live in our city? That really was a big step, I think, for this whole group.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Dave is certainly well-known. He's very well-respected. He's worked for a lot of quality organizations. Because of his impact, those organizations have done well. So it's another person with tremendous expertise. And you start taking guys like Dave Dombrowski, and then you take Tony La Russa, and you take Dave Stewart, and you take people that have been in and around the game for long periods of time, and you start to group them with finance people, legal people, then it starts to push forward. And I think John is, you know, he's gone about it in the right way. He's slow played it, or not slow played it in his mind, I don't think, but these things take time. They take time to develop, and they take time to move, and certainly finance. So I think he's done it with the right people, and I'm anxious to see where it might go.
You can certainly relate to a 60-game season, because in the SEC, when you play those 30 games, the magnified intensity and the importance, the difference between a team that, say goes 17-13 and hosts a regional and a team that goes 13-17 and barely gets into the tournament is so minuscule. So what advice might you give a major league manager who's going into this 60-game season where every game has got increased importance?
Well, I spoke to three different managers of three different organizations and their staff about how to prepare for 60-game season, and it's a sprint. There's no doubt about it. The Nationals, the way they started out last year, they never would have been a world championship team because they started off in a situation where if it was 60 games, they'd be out of a playoff run. So it is more of a what we've got to do now. You can't just take 10 games and treat them like they're not meaningful. In a 162-game season, that could be the case. You've seen teams go on streaks of losing 5 and 6 and 7 games, but still at the end of it, finish at the top. You're just not going to be able to do it in a small segment. 10 games is obviously a big part of that. So you're going to have to start off well. I think they're going to also – there's another piece of that in the fact that they haven't had a lot of training time. So the bullpen is going to be just as important as a starter right now because the starter's not going to have built up enough innings where they're going to go for long periods of time. So I just think there's going to be more players that are going to have impacting the rosters, and it's about staying healthy. It's certainly about staying healthy, but getting off to a good start and then staying on that start because, as you've seen in the college season too, you have to remain very consistent throughout in order to give yourself a chance. Once, I guess, the playoffs happen, then that's another part of the season. But at least to get there, you're going to have to stay very consistent.
I know you spent a lot of time with your guys on that mental preparation because, as we've said, every game is so important, especially in the SEC where everybody's good. Do you think teams would be wise to do a little bit more of that than you would over that long marathon of a 6-month season?
in terms of what Willie now when
in terms of maybe just emphasizing mental preparation and sharpness and urgency on a daily basis.
Well, I think you use the word right, urgency. I think that's what it's going to have to come to, and I think the people who are going to relate best to that are your former college players who are in the major league game, because they're going to fall back to that remembrance of, I remember what this felt like. You go into a three-game series on a weekend, there is a feeling of, you know, we've got to win this series, and that's what it comes down to. I don't think any of them will panic because they're older, but at the same time, there is going to be more identification with games and being able to win those games. And, you know, you get into a game in the eighth and ninth inning now, I mean, you're going to see a little bit of intensity that maybe we haven't seen yet, you know, especially we basically have taken the start of the season and we've moved it to August, really. Essentially, August is going to look like August in the 162-game season. You're going to see everyone play at a speed that is typically played amongst the teams who are playing at the very end. But now you've got all of them thrown into that mode at the beginning. So all of them are going to think they're going to have a chance. And I think you're going to see something that we just haven't ever seen before.
Coming back to you, what has this summer been like for you based on what you normally do, checking up on your players? I know a lot of them have not been able to play. Some, I think, have found some summer places to get some games in there. What's it been like for your group? And then when do you get them back on campus, and what can you do with them?
Well, it's a little bit different just because, as you mentioned, not all of them are playing. And the ones that are, the leagues are, they're good. But yet, it's not the CAPE. It's not the NECBL. It's not the Northwoods League. I mean, even though they're playing in the Northwoods League, it's kind of a pod system where they're playing smaller groups of teams. But at least they're getting a chance to play. Now, there's a group of kids that aren't playing at all, and they're still training. So that piece is different. There's been a lot of things to communicate about to some degree, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've communicated a great deal over the last month, because there's still a lot of... That's a nice sound. At least
we had a score.
The white team just scored. I think it was the Forsberg Johansson Arvidsson line there. Snuck one past UC Saros. So here we go. Now Tim McGraw sings.
Well, their sound system's working.
It's working.
Yeah, my leg's a little warm. I think I had maybe that scared me a little bit. May have had a little liquid go down my right leg. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Whew.
No, but you were saying different. Trying to get the guys back eventually here and communicate.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. I think August 24th right now is the date that we're starting school, and we've gone through move-in protocols starting on the 16th of August all the way to the 23rd. So freshmen will move in first, and then the upperclassmen after that. But we spoke to a couple guys, case in point, Cooper Davis, spoke to him this morning. He's from Canada. So he actually has to come in quarantine first inside of our country for 14 days in a hotel before he ever steps on campus. So there's some uniqueness to it, but we're going to get him back. And then once we get him back, then I think over the next 2 weeks, we'll have a better read of what we can do with him. But I just think they're looking for some normalcy. I mean, you know, an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, just the ability to have some human interaction again and just to start school. These kids got something taken away from them. All kids did. Your kids did. So just to try to get them in the environment of school and people is going to be a better way of life.
Tim, finally, there's a lot of really talented and hardworking people that over there in the communications department, video department, people that you've worked with, and you guys have done a really tremendous job on social media. In fact, I'd love for you to tell me if there's another program in the Power 5 Conference that has as much following as your baseball program does, than all the other sports combined. I mean, you more than double, I think, football and basketball. It's amazing. How were you affected by that? It was a little perplexing of that announcement. And how do you feel about it, considering your program and the baseball team has done such a tremendous job on social media.
Yeah, well, we have done a very good job, and there's a lot of hands in that. You know, Brooks Webb, our baseball operations person, is very much on top of that, as is Andrew Pate, our sports information director, who's very involved. And then you have some people on the periphery who have done a lot of great things in terms of graphic design, like Sean Sen, and then all the people that travel with us that hold a camera, that put the guys out in front of the public and put that up on social media. So, yeah, I think from a personal standpoint, Candace and I have talked about that a lot. And, you know, Candace is one of those people, too, that she understands that there's a human side to this, and she's so good about handling people in that regard. But at the same time, once we start to understand why the university did it, how they can better the current situation that we have, and how sometimes change from a personal standpoint will be difficult at first, I have great confidence right now understanding what we did, how we did it, and how it's going to benefit us in the long run. And really, that's the biggest thing. I think for us right now, and I'm certainly privy to it, even though I'm on the West Coast right now, I'm privy to how they write about Vanderbilt and so on. And you know, Vanderbilt has carried a certain narrative for a certain amount of time, but you know, that's something Candace can't do anything about, nor can we do anything about things that have happened in the past. Now it's just about, okay, how are we going to move forward right now, certainly in at a tough time too, because when she took over as athletic director, there are a lot of things that she came in the middle of, and she tried to navigate that as well as trying to move us in a positive direction. But that does not concern me one bit. I think we're going to be fine, and I feel like our department is going to be fine, and we're going to move in the direction that we need to in order to benefit these kids, because that's the most important piece.
By the way, do you know the answer to that? Is there another Power 5 conference baseball team that's got more followers on Twitter than the football program or basketball program? Do you know the answer to that?
No. Yeah, we are it.
I was going to say, you have to be, right?
Yeah. I wanted to find out about that, and I hate, you know, not trying to pound ourselves on the chest here, because we certainly want to support all of our programs, but because of the hard work of many, they've put us in that situation, right? And that's very beneficial, and you can't look beyond it, because from a recruiting standpoint and getting our program out to the masses, you as well as I know that the masses follow social media. That's where it's at. I mean, we've done such a credible job that way, and we're going to continue to do that. We're certainly not going to move in any other way but up.
Yeah, good stuff as always, Tim. Thanks for doing this, even though you're out of town. You and the fam continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Tim, thank you. That is Tim Corbin. I don't know if we lost him or if we lost him here. I didn't hear anything, Marquise, but we do appreciate Tim joining us. Always a good conversation, and obviously a fantastic baseball coach over at Vanderbilt. We will come back with more here from Bridgestone Arena as the inter-squad scrimmage is underway. White versus gold. Right now, 1-0 white team. And we'll continue that discussion. Justin Bradford on the other side. He's here. He's in the arena, and we'll talk some hockey with him on the other side. Darren Dunn.